to the WHTC At Home Show, presented by Zeeland Lumber and Supply, with your host, Mark VandenBosch. Mark presents the latest in building, remodeling, everything for your home. You are at home on 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com.
Thanks, Brent, for that warm welcome here on the new edition of the At Home Show here. We're going to call this the Forest Product Show, as we're going to talk all things wood and panel. We've got an exciting show to bring to you today. But some housekeeping before we start. Your host, Mark VandenBosch, is with you as I try to be always. Today we have John Colley, who's been a regular on the show. John, you come on quarterly, right?
I think it's pretty much been about quarterly.
All right, yeah. So about the fourth time that John's been on the show this year, and we've talked about building products. He's the purchasing manager at Zeeland Lumber and Supply, and a wealth of knowledge, I might add. So we're excited to have you today, John. For our listeners, 395-1450 is the phone number, 395-1450. You can email questions to markv@zeelandlumber.com, and we will talk about them on the show as well. So 395-1450. You know, if you miss any or part of a show, you can always go to the WHTC website, WHTC.com, and check out the podcast if you miss any or all of a show. So thanks again to all of our listeners. I have a lot of fun because it seems like invariably I will come across somebody that said, hey, I heard the show, and interesting topic, or you know, maybe the opposite was true. Maybe they didn't like the topic at all, but at least it was buzzworthy and something that was worth talking about. And really, our big intent is to share relevant things that are happening in the building industry with you, so you can share them with your friends and family, or even take that information personally as you have projects maybe coming up. So with that said, let's jump into the content of today. And again, like I said, it's a fun show. We're going to talk about forest products. And by forest products, I mean anything related to the framing components of a building, right? That could be 2x4s, it could be wides, 2x10s. It even could delve into some engineered products, which has been something that we've seen evolve over the last 10, 15 years in our industry. It's definitely made it easier for the builders and professionals out there to be able to deliver a great product to you. And then we're going to talk a little bit about panels. And by panels, I mean sheeting, whether it's roof sheeting or wall sheeting or even sheeting that goes inside the home in terms of floor sheeting. So, John, before we start, I thought it would be good to chat. You were in Baltimore earlier this week at a forest products conference. What was the buzz at the show with the mills and the folks that you talked with over there?
You know, it was actually really kind of mixed. What they do is they line up all the presidents of the major mills, and they speak about their kind of economic forecast for what's going on in the year, and make their predictions, and then they start to talk about some of the things that affect the industry, such as freight and you know, imports, exports, and log production and that kind of thing. But, you know, I think the general consensus with the whole industry, with the housing news that's out and with the data that they're receiving, you know, versus exports to China versus imports from, you know, other sources besides just North American wood is that actually, the consensus was really mixed. You know, they kind of thought that the housing data was going to more shape up this year what they were predicting it to be last year, and they kind of said there's good production in some areas. The pine beetle kill area was probably going to be dwindling down a little bit. The exports from Canada were probably down slightly, but the southern pine production's up. So it was really mixed.
Right. So what I think would be great to kind of deliver this show in three different components, right? Let's talk a little bit about what's happening with mills and, you know, really talk about how that's relevant for our listeners. And then in the second kind of section of the show, I'd like to talk about this whole topic is wood. What is wood is wood, you know, is wood wood. So, and then the final part of it I'd like to talk about is pricing and what our listeners can expect to see going forward. And sometimes you have to take a look back to be able to understand what's in front of you in the windshield, right? So mm-hmm. on the mill level, you kind of alluded to some things that are going on. But, mm-hmm. you know, breaking it down for our listeners, you know, how does China and them purchasing material affect us here, even in West Michigan?
Well, China typically is an import society that takes the wood in. They don't always use it for their own construction purposes. A lot of times they'll reman it and then send it back out into the market. They were getting wood primarily from the cheapest sources they could. Russia has actually been a supplier of logs, but they're not steady. And when they buy them from Canada or Western United States, and actually even out of the East, sometimes it's they pay a little higher processing charge, but they're really allocated a specific amount of wood that they know they're going to get on a continuous basis.
So in essence, they're gonna gobble up a certain percentage of that mm-hmm. wood and really kind of keep a basement number there, right? Mm-hmm.
I had some statistics from Brad at Tolko, and he said that they were last year they exported 19%, and they're predicting they're going to export up to 28% this year.
That will keep the pricing up a little bit here in West Michigan. You know, in terms of where the lumber is coming from, you know, for West Michigan projects, where is the product coming? The 2x4s, the 2x6, 2x10s. Can you just give a broad brush stroke for our listeners on what's happening in that area?
Yeah, we at Zeeland Lumber, we typically are spruce buyers, and we do a lot of our narrows from eastern United States, but those lengths don't really get to be very long. It's usually up to 16 foot out of a spruce market. So when you deal with western species, western spruce pine fir that comes across by car, and those typically hold longer lengths. The western species we really deal with are hem fir and Doug fir and SPF, or sometimes some inland and sometimes some coastal white fir. So that's primarily where does it come from? It comes from wherever's cheapest, but freight plays a big factor in that. But I think we try to get as much as local production as we can.
Right. Now you've actually been to a mill. Can you give a brief picture of what that looks like for our listening mm-hmm. audience?
You know, it's kind of funny because we talk about environmental. Concerns out there, but most of these major mills manage their forest products, and what they do is they have timberlands that they plant and grow, and as they get to be a certain level, they'll harvest those trees. They basically go in with a logging machine that clamps on it. It actually, as soon as it clamps on it, it gives you the yield, and then they'll cut the tree off, stack on a truck, take it to the mill, and then run it through the process of cutting it into lumber.
For those of you who are just joining us, you are listening to the At Home Show with Mark VandenBosch and John Colley. We're talking about forest products today, and specifically all of the lumber that would go into a new home construction. Maybe it goes into a renovation. Maybe you're finishing your basement. That is the category we're talking about, and really kind of giving you a little bit of background in terms of what's happening at the mill level. Where's the product coming from? How does it get shipped to the West Michigan area? And then we're going to move into more of, is a piece of 2x4 a piece of 2x4 a piece of 2x4? And that's what we're going to do next. We'll do that right after the break. Stay with us.
You're listening to At Home with Mark VandenBosch on 1450 WHTC. Call Mark now at 395-1450.
Find out if that big snowstorm has canceled your plans. Check out 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com for a complete list of cancellations. Sponsored by Apple Valley Natural Foods, Whole Grains, and a whole lot more. Your official cancellation station is WHTC.com and 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.
You're at home on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station with Mark VandenBosch. Call Mark now at 395-1450.
Welcome back to the At Home Show. Your host, Mark VandenBosch, with you. you are joining us midstream, or maybe you've been listening the whole time, and we've been talking forest products with John Colley here, the purchasing manager at Zealand Lumber and Supply. And, John, you've actually been aggressively purchasing lumber products and commodities the last 12 to 18 months, and it's been a kind of a fun journey, hasn't it?
Oh, it's been a lot of fun. A little transition from doing a lot of the post-frame components and whatnot that I've worked with in the past.
So we talked a little bit in the first segment about the mills and how that affects what's happening here in West Michigan. And I want to talk about wood and this whole idea that is a 2x4, a 2x4, a 2x4, right? I mean, it's kind of like the same idea of, is a car a car a car, right?
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about that piece of the industry.
Okay. Well, you know, typically lumber comes in different grades. And in the past, it used to be you'd order a unit of number two lumber and you'd get number two and number one mixed together. Well, now most of the mills are doing what they call a grade sort. And what that actually is they'll take lumber and they'll pull the nicest pieces out of it and stick it in another pile and use it as a visual grade. So some mills do it, some don't. Some of them have multiple levels of it that they work on. They'll have a low grade, a little better yet, and then a best grade. But probably the key factor from my standpoint over the last year is learning which mills do what and so we can get the lumber that we really want on hand.
Right. So you talked about number two, and then you talked about the self-selecting, self-sorting process, right?
Yep.
So what categorizes a high-end 2x4, 2x6, and what would categorize maybe just a regular number two grade product?
Most of the high-end products are they're visually graded or machine graded, but what it does is it takes a picture of it as it's running down the line and it sorts it for appearance and primarily wane, how much bark is on the outside of the wood. And most of the premium products will only allow between 5 and 10% on the entire unit of wood.
So 5 and 10% of what?
Of the surface area of a board.
Okay, so you talk about wane and pencil wane, and I want to not get too technical with the listeners, but can we describe what that actually is?
Well, wane is when they cut the board towards the edge of the log, and it actually still has some bark and it's rounded corners because it wasn't fully formed into, like, say, a 2-inch by 4-inch dimensional piece of lumber. Pencil wane is where just the edge of the corner has wane on it instead of the whole face of the board.
And that's something that is characteristic in a premium product. What are you going to see in just a regular number two board?
You'll see some, it'll be mixed. You'll see some that are four square edges, all surface nailable, and you'll also see some boards in there that have wane over, basically an entire face of it, but the opposite side of the board is typically square.
The other thing that I was wanting to talk about in terms of wood is the species, right? You you alluded to that in the first segment. Can you talk a little bit more about species and uses and really what is it, a product that or a species that is readily accepted here in our market?
Mm-hmm. Usually the species that we use are spruce pine fir. It's a lot of it goes to the density of the product, how well it holds a nail, how well it stays straight, basically all the characteristics of does it do what you need it to do. Sometimes there's other species that are a lot harder. They have better design criteria and structural data that allows it to span a longer span if you're using it in a weight-bearing situation. But in those situations, we'd use like a Doug fir number two or better, or a hemp fir number two and better. So different species have different strength characteristics, and use them in different positions, whether it's load-bearing or not.
So 2x4 and 2x6, going back to the initial portion of the discussion here in this segment, what do you have on the floor at Zealand?
Well, typically we use spruce for the most part. We try to get spruce because it's a really tight knot and a pretty dense product when you compare it to pine and fir.
And then you have both a number two and a premium product as well?
That's correct. Yep.
And what do you call that?
We call that our Z-grade.
Okay. Excellent. You know, also part of this whole conversation, and we really didn't have time to cover it in the second segment here, is treated, you know, the treated and what makes a piece of treated a premium piece, as well as panels, and how there's this evolution of premium panels, premium OSB, from just the regular commodity OSB. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that and more after the break here on 1450 WHTC.
We'll return to At Home with Mark VandenBosch in a few moments. Get your calls in now to Mark at 395-1450. That's 395-1450.
Zeeland West has advanced to the next round of the high school football playoffs. Tune in Friday at 6:40 p.m. as the Ducks host Grand Rapids Christian. Presented in part by Maple View Animal Hospital, Zeeland Record, Reliable Sport, and Barber Ford. Greg Chandler and Ron Weatherby will call the game live on 92.7TheVan.com, 92.7TheVan, WHTC.com, and 1450 WHTC. We are your hometown sports station.
WHTC, Holland's hometown station, welcomes you back to the At Home program with Mark VandenBosch. Get your calls in now for Mark at 395-1450.
And welcome back to the final segment here on the At Home show here, 1450 WHTC. Been a fun show so far. And we had an email during the break that asked the question, how has technology affected this portion of the industry? And, you know, I will tell you that kind of is a good segue into the next part of our conversation. That's the engineered lumber. And really, that's having an effect. It has had an effect over the last 5 to 10 years, but ultimately it's going to have a tremendous effect going forward in terms of providing solutions for both the builder and professional as well as the consumer, John. 2x4, 2x6. You know, we talked about number two. We talked about the higher-end premium 2x4 product. Mm-hmm. Where does engineered lumber play in this sandbox?
You know, really engineered, it plays at all different levels. One of the first engineered studs was a finger-jointed studs, which was basically a replacement for a stud when the solid, you know, framing member got to be a certain price or higher. Well, now they actually take smaller pieces of wood, put them together, orient the strands on the fibers to make them straighter and stronger than the solid sawn lumber. And with use of such products like LSL, they use them a lot in kitchens and areas where you want a nice, straight, tall, flat wall that can hang cabinets from and just perform better.
You know, so I want to pause on that and really encourage our listeners to think about this. You know, if you are building a home or if you're renovating an existing home and you want those cabinets to hang straight on a wall, well, an LSL stud is the perfect solution for that application.
Yeah, it actually has a nice wide flange on it, and it's also real dense. It'll hold a lot of weight, and it's taller and straighter and stronger.
You know, I remember when I first started in the industry, plywood, CDX plywood was great guns, right? And at that time, you started to hear about OSB, and OSB was coming on. But there's still the traditionalists that said, hey, plywood is the product of choice, and we don't necessarily believe OSB is going to be here for the long time. Well, you know what? OSB has been tried and true. But inherent has been the fact that it's been just a commodity. Yes. What has the industry done in terms of OSB, and what have they done using technology to even create something that's in essence, OSB on steroids.
Well, yeah. You know, and it's kind of funny because I did a lot of construction where the roof board started out to be 1x, you know, material, 1x6, 1x10, 1x12. And then it went to plywood, and the plywood wasn't, it was glued, but it was also stitched together like the old potlatch plywood there. And then it went to glued, and then they went to OSB where they just layer different wood chips in a fashion that lets the fibers intertwine and they heat it and press it and glue it and make these panels out of it. Well, those have actually worked real well in the field, but there's some companies that are taking it to the next level. LP and Advantech with their some proprietary coatings on top of it make it weather better. It won't shrink or swell or do those types of things. Huber actually makes a panel, a zip panel, that's got a protective coating on it that you can use in place of wall sheeting, where it actually has a house wrap built really right into it.
So you're saying that you wouldn't even have to install house wrap over top of that?
No, just tape the seams with that kind of a product. So that's kind of the whole gamut of where it's started and kind of where it's going too.
You know, we've talked about that on the show in the past, where products, and whether talking forest products or building products, really have to be sensitive to where they're being installed, and climate and area that they're being installed is definitely a factor. With some of these OSBs, they have glue that provides more a warranty for more exposure in the elements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, some of the subfloor that we stock is it's rated for a number of days and a no sand warranty because it won't absorb moisture as it lays flat.
In our brief time left, John, why don't you give an idea of what you think is going to happen, just general terms, in terms of pricing over the next 3 months.
You won't hold me to it?
Yeah, nice. In terms of pricing for the next 3 to 6 months. You got your crystal ball here?
Well, you know, right now, market's really bullish. OSB's been a little bit flat because it's there's a lot of production out there, but the wides, there seems to be a lot going offshore. The wides they keep working their way up, and even the 2x4s and 2x6, the narrows have been slightly bullish. I kind of think it's going to follow the same trend it did last year, where it went up into early spring and before we started to see any kind of a reprieve in the pricing.
So you talk about it going up a little bit over the next 3 to 6 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
But where is it right now? I mean, if you say over the last 5 to 8 years, are we flat over the last 5 to 8 years, down or up?
No, we're working at a level above the last 3 to 5 years.
Excellent. Well, hey, thanks for coming on the show. It's been a good show. And again, thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in each and every week on the At Home Show here on 1450 WHTC. For John Colley, I'm Mark Vandenbosch. Have a great weekend, everybody.